Hello, everyone. Patriot Underground here. So before we begin the show, I wanted to take a quick moment to remind everybody to check out PatriotSwitch.com. Click the link in the description and begin your journey making the switch to purchasing your personal and household products from a patriotic company who shares your value system and doesn't funnel your money directly into evil operations that are designed to destroy us. This is a no-brainer, folks. I made the switch and I couldn't be happier. And as I said, I only come out and support something that I personally use and believe in. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. PatriotSwitch.com. All right, folks, enjoy the show. Patriot out. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Patriot Underground. Today is March 12th, 2023. Thank you so much for joining me, folks, to discover the truth beneath the surface. I really do appreciate everybody out there taking the time to listen. So tonight I'm going to provide a situation analysis report, and boy, is there a lot to talk about. We're going to get into the SVB collapse. We're going to talk a lot about what the Fed and the Treasury is doing about it. I have some updates that just broke a few minutes ago before I decided to come on. This is a very fluid situation. We're going to talk a lot about it. We're going to get into some discussion about CBDC. We're going to talk about Macron and his plan to move forward with this quote-unquote pension reform plan in France despite massive protests. We're going to also do a little bit of an update on the Russia-Ukraine situation, talking about some hypersonic missile activity. And also, we're going to get into some COVID information. I'm going to talk a little bit about Fauci and, of course, good old Mike Pence. So hopefully you folks had a wonderful weekend. Hopefully this will be a good one. And thank you again for tuning in. So let's get started. Now, obviously, the major news this weekend was the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. And of course, this is a very fluid situation, like I mentioned a moment ago. But all weekend, the FDIC, the Federal Reserve, they've been discussing ways to fund what they're calling backstop deposits if more banks fail following Silicon Valley Bank's collapse. And this came out, I think, just yesterday. That was a Bloomberg article. Now, Janet Yellen came out and she said that they had ruled out a bailout. And that immediately had me kind of scratching my head and wondering whether or not she is under white hat control. As a matter of fact, I do believe she is. Now, she said Sunday that the federal government would not bail out Silicon Valley Bank, but is helping to work depositors who are concerned about their money, of course, because they don't want bank runs. And we've already seen over the weekend, I'm sure you've seen the videos, they've already begun. It's not in a frenzy yet, but that's exactly what they're trying to prevent. In California, we've seen long lines outside the banks. People are getting very, very nervous, and this is going to have ripple effects. Now, we knew this was coming, folks. We didn't know exactly what bank it was going to be in what order, but we certainly knew that this financial collapse was imminent, and it appears to be happening right now. Now, we all know that the FDIC insures deposits up to $250,000, but many companies and, of course, very wealthy individuals who use the bank, which, by the way, is known for its relationship with technology startups and venture capital, specifically having to do with climate change and this whole Green New Deal and all these green energy projects, which I think is also very, very interesting. Now, many, many individuals had way more than $250,000 in their account. And, of course, there have been fears spreading across the country that people are going to stop receiving their paychecks. And like I said, this is going to have a ripple effect. Now, Janet Yellen went on an interview with CBS. I think it was Face the Nation. And she provided a few details on what the government's next steps might look like. But she emphasized that the situation was much different or is much different than the financial crisis almost 15 years ago. Of course, she's referring to 2008. Which saw the collapse of the, well, I think it was the biggest collapse, biggest bank collapse in U.S. history. That was Washington Mutual. I'm going to bring that up, I think, again in just a moment. But that obviously led to bank bailouts to protect the industry. And she came out and said, quote, "We're not doing that again, but we are concerned about depositors and we're focused on trying to meet their needs." So obviously this has the entire country rattled, specifically Wall Street. Okay, and we also know that the big banks, the big Wall Street banks that have derivative exposure are already insolvent behind the scenes, and they've been doing everything they can to try to prop up this failing monster, but it looks like the wheels are starting to come off, folks. Now, she's out there, she's trying to reassure Americans that there's not going to be this domino effect, after the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. But obviously, people don't trust that information, especially coming from Janet Yellen. Now, she came out and said, initially, the American banking system, this is a quote, she said, quote, "The American banking system is really safe and well-capitalized. It's resilient." But fast forward maybe a day, I don't even think it was 24 hours, all of this discussion about the industry and, you know, the economy being so resilient, obviously that didn't take very well. Now, there was an individual, a professor at Cornell University by the name of Bob Hockett, and he worked at the central bank, and he said that the FDIC has the legal means under what they call a systemic risk exception of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, the FDIC Improvement Act, to intervene. And he said, quote, "That option is still available. If there looks like there could be a bank run on all the non-Jamie Dimon banks," I thought that was very interesting, "they can, in a pinch, insure previously uninsured deposits for the full amounts. They can do this for over $250,000 per deposit." And so top federal regulators briefed key lawmakers about the bank's collapse, and they've been in deliberations the entire weekend. And they're trying to figure out what the government's response should be. This was happening late into the evening on Saturday, and then again today on Sunday, and they made an announcement, which I'm going to talk about in just a moment. But obviously, this is a very, very serious situation, and they realized that simply gaslighting the public was not going to work. And lawmakers, on a late Saturday call, from my understanding, sounded an urgent alarm about the need to find a buyer for SVB. And some of them raised concerns that there could be a financial, what they call a financial contagion. This could be a financial contagion, excuse me, if the U.S. can't resolve the bank payouts to depositors swiftly. And so the fears have been growing all weekend that there could be runs on other banks, small banks, regional banks. And there were members of Congress who came out, including, I think it was Senator Joe Manchin, a Democrat from West Virginia. And he stressed in a statement that the banking system is strong and sounder now than at any time since the financial crisis. And he said, "I urge the American people to allow the protections already in place to ensure individual deposits and the well-being of local and regional banks, particularly in rural communities like we have in West Virginia, to be fully realized before reacting out of fear and amplifying the problem." But once again, folks, their attempts to gaslight the public, their attempts to assuage the concerns of the public, this isn't working anymore. People are not trusting information that's coming from the government, from the establishment, from the mainstream media, and that's why we saw these long lines in California outside the banks, the bank runs already beginning. Now, Silicon Valley Bank is based in Santa Clara, California, and it's not one of the nation's top banks in terms of size. I think it's like the 15th or 16th largest. Forgot to put that in my notes, so you'll have to excuse me. But despite that, it is the second largest bank failure in U.S. history, after the collapse of Washington Mutual in 2008, which I mentioned a moment ago. And the bank served mostly technology workers. Of course, this was a Silicon Valley bank, a venture capital bank that included some of the industry's best-known brands. So fast forward to just a few hours ago, before I decided to come on and record, there was a statement that was released by Janet Yellen. Actually, it was a joint statement involving Janet Yellen, the Fed Chair Jerome Powell, and the FDIC Chairman Martin Gruenberg. And I'm just going to read some excerpts of that. It said, Today, we are taking decisive actions to protect the U.S. economy by strengthening public confidence in our banking system. This step will ensure that the U.S. banking system continues to perform its vital roles of protecting deposits and providing access to credit to households and businesses in a manner that promotes strong and sustainable growth. After receiving a recommendation from the boards of the FDIC, the Federal Reserve, and consulting with the President, Secretary Yellen approved actions enabling the FDIC to complete its resolution of Silicon Valley Bank in a manner that fully protects all depositors. Yeah, they're taking this really seriously, folks, because they know If these bank runs start and the confidence is lost, they are done for. Depositors will still have access to all of their money starting Monday, March 13th. So they're putting a timestamp on this. No losses associated with the resolution of Silicon Valley Bank will be borne by the taxpayer. And it goes on to say, we're also announcing similar systemic risk exception for Signature Bank in New York, which was closed today by its state chartering authority. You see, this is having a ripple effect, folks. This is how dominoes work. All depositors of this institution will be made whole. As with the resolution of Silicon Valley Bank, no losses will be borne by the taxpayer. And then it goes on to say, shareholders and certain unsecured debt holders will not be protected. Senior management has also been removed. Any losses to the deposit insurance fund to support uninsured depositors will be recovered by a special assessment on the banks as required by law. Finally, the Federal Reserve Board on Sunday announced it will make available additional funding to eligible depository institutions to help banks have the ability to meet the needs of all their depositors. The U.S. banking system remains resilient and on a solid foundation, yeah, right, in large part due to the reforms that were made after the financial crisis that ensured better safeguards for the banking industry. That's a joke. Those reforms, combined with today's actions, demonstrate our commitment to take the necessary steps to ensure that depositors' savings remain safe. So yeah, folks, they're in full-blown panic mode right now. And by the way, there's a heck of a lot more to this story. The CEO of SVB, Greg Becker, sold 3.6 million company shares under a trading plan less than 2 weeks before the bank's failure. Absolutely unbelievable. And so, really, the Fed at this point has only a couple of different options with the financial system imploding. Either they can raise interest rates and they can blow up everything. They can blow up the banks, the housing sector, the stock market, et cetera, or they can lower the rates or keep them the same and watch inflation destroy the dollar and destroy the economy completely. Either way, this is a lose-lose situation that was engineered by the White Hats. They are trapped. And as a result of that, folks, we know that there are going to be a heck of a lot of false flags, a heck of a lot of distractions, even more than what we've seen in recent days and weeks. And by the way, the Silicon Valley Bank crash has brought down 500 Israeli tech companies. It turns out that the Mossad and Unit 8200, which is basically an Israeli intelligence unit of the IDF, and they're responsible for clandestine operations, collecting signal intelligence, code decryption, counterintelligence, cyber warfare, on and on and on. But it turns out that the Mossad and Unit 8200 covertly operate most of this industry, SVB, from Tel Aviv, employing retired Israeli military cyber intelligence as CEOs. And really, a great irony of this whole situation, folks, is that the SVB lured these firms through using a modern conspiracy and charging huge interest rates, or banning Christian firms to make up the differences. And what's even worse is they stopped these companies from withdrawing the funds once this Ponzi scheme was exposed. So this is absolutely massive, folks. I mentioned Washington Mutual a couple of minutes ago. Back in 2008, that bank collapsed to the tune of $307 billion. And Silicon Valley Bank is $209 billion. So a significant difference there. But folks, we're talking about a massive collapse. And this is causing big tech all over the world to panic. And of course, all of the other American banks that are wrapped up, granting interest-free loans to Israeli firms, Zionist firms, fearing that they are going to suffer massive losses as well. It's truly incredible that Forbes listed Silicon Valley Bank as one of America's best banks just weeks before the collapse. Not only that, we're coming to find out that a senior risk manager at SVB oversaw woke LGBTQ programs. This bank was tied in just about every way to the enemy agenda. And I don't think for a second that that is a coincidence. Now, of course, this ties into a conversation about CBDC. Now, we're finding out that Swift is moving forward on a project to build a standardized global interlinking CBDC, central bank digital currency. Now, this project for CBDC cross-border payments involved, according to my understanding, 18 central and commercial banks from around the world, including banks in France, in Canada, in Germany, in Italy, and I believe Singapore as well. Now, CBDC is a topic we've been talking about for quite some time. And obviously, the central banking system is doing everything that they can to try to push this digital currency because they view it as the solution to all of their problems and just a yet another con to get everyone to transfer all of their wealth into an entity that lacks transparency and lacks decentralization. And those really are the two key ingredients to a healthy financial system. Now, Louis Sun, who is the global head of domestic and emerging payments at HSBC, said in a statement that, quote, while interest in CBDCs is growing, so is the risk of fragmentation as a widening range of technologies and standards is being experimented with. And he went on to add that the SWIFT project may lead to faster, cheaper, and more secure cross-border payments. So naturally, of course, the banks are very eager to see this SWIFT CBDC project through. The central banks, the commercial banks that are involved, clearly they want this system to succeed. And so they're testing the SWIFT system in conjunction with CBDCs. And I've been talking about this now for a while, folks. Part of the queue operation is to allow this central bank digital currency to roll out as the final nail in the coffin of the old financial system. So right now, they've got over 100 countries that are currently working on some form of digital currency, central bank digital currency, with some of them already launching their digital currency, and others, of course, are still in the testing phase. But the fact that SWIFT, which is, of course, the money transferring system based out of Belgium that all of us have been using our entire lives, the fact that SWIFT is working on a system to consolidate even more financial control to the central banks is what we really should be paying attention to. That's the significance. And it's very interesting as well, if you look over at Russia, and we're going to talk about Russia in just a moment, and Ukraine, very shortly after they started that incursion, they were promptly expelled from the SWIFT payment network. And of course, this is all part of the plan. In effect, the global SWIFT system was weaponized against the Russian banks for deviating from the agenda of the central bank global cartel. And so, of course, all the normies out there who are hopefully starting to pay attention should be asking themselves whether or not a centralized SWIFT-backed system would only further entrench the world in this new world order paradigm. And I think more and more people are starting to recognize the real danger of not being in control of their money. And that's a big part of what these bank collapses are going to ingrain inside the consciousness of the masses. If you do not hold it, you do not own it. And we are going to have a system, Nasara and Jassara, is ultimately going to be a system where we have complete control and sovereignty over our money, and we really don't have to use these banking cartels anymore. There's going to be complete transparency, complete decentralization. It's going to be absolutely beautiful. And towards the end tonight, I may say a few more words about Nasara and Jassara. And ultimately, folks, what I believe is very likely to happen is we're going to see more big banks crash, more big bank failures, and the system is going to use this. The establishment is going to use this, these sell-offs, these bank runs, to begin to bring in CBDCs. And ultimately, their goal is to create a one-world currency, as we know, but it's not going to go the way they think it is. And meanwhile, over in France, despite all of the massive protests that have been happening against Macron's quote-unquote pension reform bill, apparently these tyrants are going to move forward regardless. And this is going to absolutely set off a firestorm in France. And I do believe that this, in combination with the war that is just heating up in Europe, is going to result in the public announcement that France has ultimately defected from NATO. The White Hats are in control of France, folks. This is all a movie. They are pushing and pushing and pushing because they know that ultimately the system needs to break. And it really has to be the people who are the tip of the spear in terms of making that happen. The bank runs, the protests, the civil unrest, everything that we are going to witness in the weeks ahead is all a part of this engineered chaos, yes, but also controlled demolition of the central banking cartel. This debt prison that we were all born into that is in its final death throes. Now, I mentioned a moment ago that the situation in Russia and Ukraine is continuing to heat up, as we know. We've been saying that for weeks now, folks. With every passing day, it just gets more and more clear to me that they are preparing the narrative for a major, major false flag. Now, over the weekend, the news came out that Russia has used hypersonic missiles. So Ukraine's military confirmed that during Thursday morning's large missile barrage on various cities and infrastructure sites all across the country, which has now been tallied at, I believe, 95 to 100 projectiles total, up to six of them were hypersonic missiles, which are basically impossible to defend against. And I talked a bit about this technology. If you go back to my episodes right around the time of the spy balloon story started surfacing, I got into that a little bit. So you can go back and learn a little bit more about hypersonic missiles. Now, a Ukrainian Armed Forces spokesman said in a statement, quote, "The attack is really large scale and for the first time using such different types of missiles. We see that this time as many as six Kinzhal," I believe that's how you pronounce it, that's what they call these hypersonic missiles, that's K-I-N-Z-H-A-L, missiles were used. This is an attack like I don't remember seeing before. Now, the spokesperson for the Air Force Command of Ukraine went on TV to point out, quote, "So far, we have no capabilities to counter these weapons," in reference to the Kinzhals. And it was additionally revealed that six X-22 air-launched cruise missiles were fired as well. And it's very important that the Kremlin itself admitted to deploying these hypersonics on Thursday, but didn't say how many were used. And so there have been a handful of occasions, folks, over the past year that these hypersonic missiles have been fired, but they've been few and far between. But this is the first time that so many were deployed in a single day, which obviously marks the escalation of this war. Now, hypersonic speed is generally defined as a projectile that can reach Mach 5 or greater. Now, the Kinzhal is purported to travel at Mach 10. That's over 7,500 miles an hour, folks. And it also has a very unpredictable flight path, which, like I said, makes it nearly impossible for even the most advanced missile defense systems to shoot them down. And this weaponry, of course, was first unveiled by Putin back in 2018. And it was air-launched from a bomber at that time to demonstrate to the world the technological prowess of the Russian military. And that's, of course, only continued to improve as time has gone on. Now, this large-scale use of hypersonic missiles is very likely, and I think pretty much we can all conclude that this is 100% true, that it was a warning to both DC and to NATO that they have to stay out of this conflict. And this, of course, comes at a moment of deepening tensions involving the shipping of heavy weaponry like tanks to Poland. Now, the Kremlin had called Thursday's missile operation retaliation for the March 2nd cross-border attack incident on Russian soil near Ukraine. And that incident involved groups of well-armed Ukrainian nationalists who crossed into Russia's southern border and began opening fire on villages. And apparently they killed two civilians. They reportedly injured a 10-year-old boy. And President Putin had previously described the infiltrators, saying, quote, "They opened fire on civilians. They saw that there were children in the car," end quote. And by the way, as I've discussed many times, one of the main reasons that Putin went in, of course, the mainstream media will never tell you about the ethnic cleansing that was going on and has been going on for quite some time prior to the Russian incursion into Ukraine, which is, of course, historically its territory. But they were wiping out the Slavic Russian-speaking people in the Donbass. And that's a big reason why this war got kicked off to begin with. And not only that, I happen to believe that this hypersonic missile story is just a precursor to one of these major false flag nuclear events that I do believe is going to happen in the very near future. I happen to think, folks, we're going to see an attack in Europe, a false flag attack here in the United States. Nobody knows exactly how this is going to play out, folks, but I talked about the sum of all fears in my last episode. And these hypersonic missiles certainly tie in to what we're about to witness with this Cuban Missile Crisis 2.0. You can mark my words on that. You got to understand that all of the information in this information war that's coming out right now is designed either as predictive programming, if you're the cabal, or as disclosure, if you're the White Hats. Now, a newly declassified military document surfaced a few days ago, and this was from United States Special Operations Command, or USSOCOM. And I happen to believe this is a great example of White Hats being in control of the military, telling you exactly what's been going on behind the scenes. Now, this newly declassified document that came out pointed to a whole wide range of technologies that are being used by the military, including deep fake technology for online propaganda and deception campaigns in an attempt to sway public opinion to their desired direction. Now, the document also outlines their plans to use, quote, non-radio frequency tagging, tracking, and locating in an effort to stay ahead of those who wish to remain undetected by not owning a phone, for example. And they're going to do this by using biometrics. And of course, this is already in existence, folks. Now, biometrics, of course, covers technologies used to collect, to analyze, and distribute various physical parameters that can be used to identify people. And supposedly, according to this document, but again, this is all disclosure, folks, all this stuff is already in existence. The way it's characterized in the document is that the military is looking for white papers on this technology to try to integrate it into their warfare systems. So they say there's a particular interest in technologies with a small form factor, meaning something that's basically portable, that provides the capability to rapidly, in under 2 minutes, identify personnel, reduce false alarm rates, whatever that means, and or offer novel approaches at short to long distances in all environmental conditions. And then it goes on to say technologies of interest are touchless fingerprint capture at near and extended distances for matching against authoritative databases and onboard watch list, facial and or iris capture. And then they go on to say that they're also looking for rapid, portable, handheld DNA collection and processing for matching against authoritative databases and onboard watch lists yet again. And so these multimodal biometric technologies and matching devices include a combination of an iris scanner, facial recognition, DNA, and fingerprint capture and processing. So this has been ongoing now for quite some time, folks, but the White Hats are letting you know exactly what the military has been up to. Not only that, deep fakes. This is a big one, folks. We obviously know, I mean, that's been a major aspect of this show really for the past couple of years, is talking about how virtually everything that we are witnessing right now is a pantomime. It's a movie. And of course, they're pulling this off using deep fake technology, using masks and so forth. And of course, there's much, much more complex technology that it's in existence beside that. But we know that the military has masks that are far better, head and shoulders, no pun intended, over anything in Hollywood. And so in this document, it talked about how the military is looking to provide a next generation capability to collect data through public and open source information systems, such as social media, local media, and national media, to enable MISO, which is Military Information Support Operations, to craft and direct influence operations and messages in relevant peer environments. And it goes on to say, to provide a next generation of deep fake or other similar technology to generate messages and influence operations via non-traditional channels in relevant peer environments. And then it goes on to tell you what the entire purpose behind this is: to generate next generation capability to take over the Internet of Things devices, to collect data and information from local populations to enable breakdown of what messaging might be popular and accepted through sifting of data once received. And it goes on to say this would enable MISO to craft and promote messages that may be more readily received by a local populace in relevant peer slash near peer environments. So what they're telling you, folks, is that this deepfake technology has been developed by the military specifically to manipulate and propagandize the public. And of course, we know that Barack Obama legalized propaganda. And since then, virtually all of the news has had zero filter directly from the CIA. And we know that mainstream media, it's always been a mockingbird operation. But what Obama did was he basically took away all of the legal ramifications of propagandizing your own people. And of course, they're using advanced technology, deepfake technology, in order to pull this off. So to me, this is yet again another indication of the direction we're headed. Now, some people may say, well, this is just predictive programming. They're trying to condition the public. My response to that would be, folks, do a little bit of research and you'll find out that all of these technologies already exist. Okay? If this statement came out 10 years ago, then yeah, you might have a point. But the fact is, by the time we get this information, regardless of where it's coming from, whether it's the White Hats or whether it's the deep state, you can rest assured that this technology has already existed probably for decades. That's the way that they operate. But I do believe that in the process of attempting to propagandize the public, I don't think the cabal really wants to emphasize the fact that they have this technology and are intending to use it against the population, even though we know that that's precisely what they've been doing now for years. Now, switching gears a little bit over to the COVID topic, it's very interesting to watch Fauci squirm as the heat gets turned up. Now, he went on CNN Newsroom on Saturday to push back against the growing consensus that COVID-19 leaked from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Now, I've given folks my breakdown on that. I'm going to talk about it in some more detail in just a few minutes. But he went on TV trying to dispel the all but certain conclusion that the official narrative behind COVID-19 is complete BS. And more folks are beginning to understand that this is all engineered at this lab for bioweapon research. Now, Fauci said, quote, "One of the things that maybe people don't appreciate is that all the intelligence agencies," excuse me, "agree unanimously that this was not engineered." And of course, he was talking to Jim Acosta. Oh, what a clown he is. Well, of course, the intelligence agencies all agree. They're all in on it. Obviously, they're not going to tell you the truth. And then he went on to say, namely, he said, quote, "namely, they didn't deliberately do this to make a bioweapon. Everybody agrees with that." No, they don't. What are you talking about? And he goes on to say, "no matter what your prior thoughts were, everybody agrees with that." And then he put forward an absolutely ridiculous hypothesis that perhaps COVID did leak from a lab after a bat first infected a lab worker in the wild, which would make the virus natural. I mean, this is getting comical at this point, folks. He said a lab leak could be that someone was out in the wild and maybe looking for different types of viruses and bats and got infected, went into the lab and was being studied in the lab and then came out of the lab. But if that's the definition of a lab leak, then it's still a natural occurrence. Wow. Can you do the mental gymnastics on that one, folks? He said the other possibility is someone takes a virus from the environment that doesn't actually spread very well in humans and manipulates it a bit, and accidentally it escapes or accidentally infects someone, and then you get an outbreak. End quote. I mean, this is just absolutely insane. To me, it's very comical. I can barely get through this stuff without laughing at this point. But, of course, we're also dealing with a very serious bioweapon attack against humanity, so I should probably temper my laughter. But to watch this evil rat and obviously I don't think it's the real Fauci, saying that everybody agrees with the notion that COVID-19 occurred naturally is just absolutely insane. And of course, the whole reason he went on there was to respond to one of the first whistleblowers that came out, the former CDC director, Robert Redfield. Not only Redfield, but also FBI director Christopher Wray. And these are just the first two individuals. There are going to be many, many more. This is the year of the whistleblower, folks. And Redfield, as we know, during a congressional hearing last week, admitted that COVID-19 was likely created as the result of gain-of-function research funded by numerous U.S. government agencies, which has caused the greatest pandemic our world has ever seen. Now, obviously, there's a lot of lies in there, but the fact that Redfield is testifying against Fauci is certainly significant. This is not the greatest pandemic our world has ever seen. The greatest plandemic, absolutely. And of course, we also know, thanks to Q the Storm Writer, how all of this transpired. Back during the lockdowns, and I reported on this in my last episode, but very briefly to remind folks, the White Hats, not only did they raid the CDC and the WHO while virtually everyone was on lockdown and nobody was there, but they also interrogated and were able to flip many high-level individuals like Redfield. And this is, like I said, just the beginning. And of course, this all centers around this COVID transparency vote that took place. And it's very interesting that 100% of the lawmakers in the House on Friday voted to pass that bill, requiring the fake Biden administration to declassify intelligence related to investigations into the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China and COVID-19. And of course, this was sponsored by Senators Hawley and Braun, and it passed, like I said, unanimously 410 votes to zero after clearing the Senate by unanimous consent last week. And so now the bill heads to Biden's desk. Should be very interesting to see what happens there. Now, this plandemic, as we know, has wreaked havoc in a multitude of ways, not just here in America, but all over the world, with almost every household feeling the impact and suffering as a result. We know that this plandemic, which, by the way, had nothing to do with a virus, had everything to do with the so-called solution to the virus, which was the real bioweapon, the jab. But the United States death toll from this plandemic has surpassed 1 million people. And although concrete data is very difficult to lock down, there are still millions of people who are suffering the long-term effects as the direct result of this bioweapon attack against humanity. It's becoming increasingly clear that this has affected children physically, mentally, emotionally, because of the long-term school closures. This had a devastating effect on our children. And I happen to have seen that firsthand myself. But the American people need to know the truth. Not just the American people, of course, but all of us. We the people. We are a worldwide community. We're all brothers and sisters. We're all in this together. Where we go one, we go all. We demand to know the truth about how exactly this was created, and of course, the specifics of whether or not this was a quote-unquote natural occurrence or a lab leak. Now, I happen to believe, as I've said, that this was never a real virus. Now, there are a lot of folks out there who are going to disagree with me on that, and that's fine. But in my view, the whole idea of isolation is really the key. All right, they have these papers that say that they've isolated the virus, but what they really did was they took a nasal swab, they processed it somehow, they added it to a cell culture, and they observed the cells dying in the cell culture, and they wrote, okay, we've isolated the virus, but that's not the way it's done. Even if you've identified a virus, you haven't identified a specific virus. So when they searched around for RNA, and they found a long string of RNA, which looked like what had previously been called coronavirus, that's what they called it. But nobody has ever purified a coronavirus. So what I think they did is they looked at people with the common cold, and they found some RNA patterns, and they said, well, this must be the virus. But it's really not grounded in anything. And of course, there's also the overarching discussion of gain of function and what it actually is. Now, I don't believe that an actual COVID-19 SARS-CoV-2 virus was ever isolated, because I don't believe it really exists. If there was a virus, it was a souped-up flu, a souped-up version of the common cold that communicated, and this is key, with the 5G towers. And this souped-up flu was designed to cause the fear that was necessary to get the public to go along with this agenda, but this was never the real threat. You got to remember that the initial outbreaks were in regions where 5G had been switched on, like Wuhan, China, like Madrid, Spain, like in northern Italy. And as we've talked about in the past, if this were a real pathogen, if this were a real virus, it would have spread beyond the city limits. And that's not what happened. When you look at the way that viruses spread, real viruses, real pathogens, this basically did the opposite. And that's because it was never about the virus. It was about the radiation-induced pneumonia that has the same symptoms as the common cold or the flu, or of course, pneumonia, depending upon how severe it is. So I happen to think that the gain-of-function research that was going on was all about getting the jab ingredients to communicate with 5G. And if there was a virus, to get it to be more easily transmissible so they could spread the fear, which would enable them to spread the propaganda and roll out their agenda with mass public compliance at the same time. That's what this was really all about. But again, the simple reality is that it wasn't any kind of virus that was intended to be the bioweapon. That's the narrative right now, is that they were concocting this bioweapon in the form of a virus inside the Wuhan Institute of Virology. But I don't buy it. The bioweapon was the jab. It is the jab. The whole virus narrative was cover for the real attack. They had already patented the so-called virus, the jab. All of this is premeditated. All of this has come out. It's well documented. And let's not forget that they also needed a fraudulent test to diagnose this so-called disease that is 99.9999999% survivable. Unless you have severe comorbidities, in which case the flu is going to kill you just as easily. Folks, they cloaked the flu, the common cold, they camouflaged it to cause the fear. But even if they do determine that it was a virus of some sort that was leaked from the Wuhan lab, even if I'm wrong about that, all that really does is get us closer to the truth, unless you actually believe that the virus was the real killer. And I don't think that anyone out there in my audience actually believes that. And so I suspect that the real research that was going on was to perfect the 5G attack and basically how to make it appear that it was a virus. But the fact that Fauci is increasingly panicked shows me that we are moving full steam in the right direction. And the real disclosure will be when it's revealed that the jab resulted in millions of deaths, which was intended to treat, at most, a nasty strain of flu. But again, if you look at all of the numbers, the mass die-offs began after the jab was rolled out. And all of the deaths before that, we know, were just flu deaths. And of course, they engineered a lot of that by the nursing home fiasco with Cuomo and all the other Democratic governors, and they're still going to pay for that. I do believe they're going to face tribunals for that, amongst many other things, if they haven't already. But that's what's really going on with COVID, folks. And so this whole COVID Origin Transparency Act, I believe, is intended not to get us to the truth right off the bat, but to get us closer to the real rabbit hole. And once we dive in there and we realize what really happened, and this penetrates the consciousness of the masses, the entire system, the entire medical system, big pharma, all of it is going to collapse. And by the way, there is a pending $3 trillion lawsuit against Pfizer right now. And so that's the direction this is headed, folks. Just like the big banks, big pharma is going down. But what we're really experiencing right now, folks, and what we've been experiencing for the past couple of years, when we say the drip, 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 and then a steady stream, and then a flood about disclosure, what we're really talking about is an incremental narrative shift. It's not going to happen all at once. And that's why there have been a lot of world leaders and public figures out there who have made statements that have been somewhat contradictory. One day they'll say something that seems like they're maybe being influenced by the white hats, and then the next day they'll say something that makes it seem like they're not, and that they're still under the control of the cabal. And the Pope is a good example. The Pope just came out and made probably the most based statement that I've ever heard, saying that ultimately, saying that gender ideology, and this is a quote, gender ideology today is one of the most dangerous ideological colonizations because it blurs the differences and the value of men and women. That is an incredible statement coming from the Pope, who, by the way, is the CGI Pope. The real Pope has already been dealt with. But this is an example of incremental narrative shift. And as time goes on, and more is disclosed, and more of the agenda not only becomes evident to the public, but the connection between all of the different dots. This is exactly what we do on this show, is connecting the dots. You see, the public, the general public, still lives in a world that's completely fragmented, completely compartmentalized. They don't understand how any of these dots connect, whereas we understand how virtually all of them connect. Of course, there are details that we're still working out. There are still major gaps in our understanding, and that has to be the case because there has to be fog of war. This is fifth-gen war, psychological war, as we know, completely unprecedented. But the fact of the matter is, folks, is that this system coordinates at every level. And so every single aspect of disclosure is going to tie in like a sadistic, satanic, evil puzzle or a prison, really, that they've built around us that we commonly call the Matrix. And to watch this narrative shift happening and to watch it accelerate the way that it's accelerating is truly incredible. Now, obviously, at the same time, we're also under attack, as we've been talking about for weeks now, ever since the train derailments began, the spy balloons, the UFOs. Folks, you can bet your bottom dollar that they've got other false flags up their sleeve ready to go. And all of it is leading up to the big one, or let's just say few big ones, because I happen to believe that for each of the major theaters in this war, there's going to be a major false flag event. I've talked about the nuclear false flag for the, you know, military-industrial complex, that aspect of things, but there's also going to be a major financial black swan event. And I think today, well, not just today, but over the weekend with SVB, like we've been talking about, we're seeing the beginning of what's to come, the initial stages of this black swan event, because they don't just simply happen in a vacuum. Not if you're awake, not if you're aware. And that's exactly what we're doing, is piecing all of this together, folks, and we can see this tapestry that's been forming. This beautiful, genius tapestry that was woven by the greatest minds, I believe, in history. We're going to go down this Q team, this operation, all of the individuals who contributed to this plan to bring down this deep state Leviathan are going to be remembered for thousands and thousands and thousands of years as the saviors of humanity, right alongside us, the awakened patriots who refused against all odds to step away, to back down, and to turn our backs on the truth. Even if it cost us our family, our friends, our job, heck, even if it cost us our lives, this is what we've committed ourselves to. And make no mistake about it, folks, the enemy knows it. And that's why they're completely in panic disarray right now. That's why Mike Pence is out there making all types of false statements about January 6th, as we know. Now, over the weekend, I think it was Saturday, he came out and said that Trump was basically not only responsible for the riot at the Capitol, but he also endangered Pence's family with his reckless words. He said, quote, "Trump, President Trump was wrong. I had no right to overturn the election. His reckless words endangered my family and everyone at the Capitol that day, and I know history will hold Donald Trump accountable." No, Pence, history is going to hold you accountable because you had the ability to stop what was clearly a fraudulent, treasonous action against the American people, against the will of the majority of the American people. You could have stopped it. You could have said, no, you have to do an investigation. You have to follow the letter of the law. Instead, you tried to act as if you didn't have any right to overturn the election. That's not what this was about. It wasn't about you having the right to overturn an election. It was about you having a duty to investigate the election fraud complaints that were backed by an enormous tsunami of evidence by your own colleagues. That's what this is about. History is going to hold you responsible. And of course, there's a lot of rumors that Pence is preparing or laying the groundwork to run against Trump in 2024 for the Republican nomination. But the reality, folks, is that the real story is not the January 6th Star Committee and what all these criminals have to say. The real story are the investigations by the Patriot-led Congress. Trump controls the House. And these investigations that are being done by this new Congress are going to be massively significant in the days, weeks, and months ahead. Representative Gosar came out and said that he expects criminal referrals for Nancy Pelosi and other members of Congress and some within the military once the truth about J6 comes out. He said, quote, "Heads have to roll. I think there's also military that are involved. And I think that heads have to roll. Otherwise, you condone this lawlessness, and that's what America sees." Absolutely. And meanwhile, Representative Cormer came out and revealed that lawmakers now have documents that identify how the Biden family received money from China. So, folks, buckle your seatbelts, strap in, because things are about to get wild. This is real. And what we are fighting for is the future of our species. We're fighting for a world of no more taxes, no more energy bills, no more fees and mortgages, which are illegal. We're fighting for a world of Nasara and Jasara. We're transitioning into true greatness, what this world and what God intended this world to look like and to always be. We were never supposed to have poverty and homelessness. We were never supposed to have third world nations that were colonized and basically raped for all of their resources and the people being treated like guinea pigs. Instead, the people of the third world today, once Nasara and Jasara are fully rolled out, they're going to return to their home countries, and every single nation on earth is going to be a first world country. The governments are going to be a fraction of the size of what they are now. There is going to be abundance and goodwill. There's going to be dancing in the streets, folks. Everyone is going to have a home. Nobody is going to be suffering from drug addiction. This fentanyl crisis has gotten out of control. But beyond that, there's not going to be any more illness. There's not going to be any more disease. We're going to have med beds. I've talked about the three different types of med beds in the past that can basically cure any disease, any illness, and can reverse any condition. And not only that, it can regrow limbs and completely heal you psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually. We're talking about freedom on earth like we've never seen before, on earth as it is in heaven. again, the way that this planet was supposed to be. So hold the line, Patriots. And as you've heard me say many times, we win because God wins. And God has already won. All right, folks, hopefully you enjoyed this podcast. You can let me know in the comments. Please take a moment to hit that like button if you did enjoy this podcast. Also, please check out the links in the description and follow me on the different platforms I'm on. I'm on BitChute, Rumble, and Podbean. I'm also on Telegram and Truth Social. You'll see links in the description for both of those. Also, speaking of links, please check out the link to Patreon and consider becoming a patron. Thank you to all of my amazing patrons. You guys are truly amazing. You make such a difference. And I just want to salute each and every one of you. I also want to remind folks that there are other ways to support my work. You can check out patriotunderground.shop and pick up an item or two. I've had great reviews on these items. And I have to tell you, folks, I've ordered a bunch myself just to see the quality. And it really is amazing. The people that have purchased the items have been very satisfied. I've gotten emails. People are very, very excited about the merch. So thank you for everybody out there making a purchase and supporting what I do. This is all about serving you. This is all about serving humanity. Every single day I get up, I'm an imperfect person, folks. I don't always get it right. And I fully admit that. I do make mistakes. But the reality is that every single day I wake up and I try to be the very best of myself so that I can give you, the audience, the very best of me in an effort to serve you at this epic moment in history, at a time when humanity truly needs all of its light warriors, all of its patriots, all of its soldiers to come forward and to confront this evil. So thank you, folks. I just want to say thank you to each and every one of you for your support in every form that it comes. I love each and every one of you. And finally, before I sign off tonight, please take a moment to check out PatriotSwitch.com, the best company out there for all of your personal and household products. They have a 90% retention rate, folks, and that's because they have incredibly high-quality products. That's the real reason that everybody keeps coming back. There's ideology and there's also practicality, and this company merges the two together. You get great quality products, and you also get the satisfaction of knowing that you're not funding the big box conglomerates, and that's really what this is all about. We are still engaged in an economic war, and all of us have to spearhead that change. We have to band together and defund the cabal in any way that we can. And Patriot Switch gives you an amazing opportunity to do that with products that you're going to purchase anyway. Shop with the good guys, realign your financial resources with your spiritual and political values. PatriotSwitch.com. All right, folks, thank you so much for listening. God bless and Godspeed. I'll be back soon with another report. I've got Gene Decode coming back on Wednesday. Very excited to get an update from him. I'll see you folks again on Wednesday. God bless and Godspeed. Patriot out.